I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Last night, do you feel like your boy Pete Alonso ruined the home run derby?
No, I feel like he won the home run derby.
I do too.
You don't. It's a little. I saw people last night. Obviously, Vlad was the star, right? Because he, you know, was setting records and he swings so violently. Where for Pete's a little bit like Aaron Judge in the sense that he's a big, strong person who, you know, it looks effortless, like the ball just jumps off of his bat, whereas Vlad, the visual is of a man swinging as hard as he can swing trying to murder a baseball. So it's more enjoyable to watch, and then he was unbelievable. But I saw some people trying to be dismissive or discount Pete's home run derby title by pointing out that Vlad hit way more home runs. But that's a little bit like arguing the morning after the election about the popular vote and ignoring the Electoral College. Like, you don't have to get more votes than your opposition. You just have to win in the places you need to win to be elected president, our most recent presidential election being a decent example of that. Similarly, you do not have to hit 90 home runs to win the home run derby. You just have to beat the guy you're against in each section of the bracket. Pete Alonso did that. He is your home run champion, and he should be.
No, I completely agree. It's like saying the team that scored the most points in the NCAA tournament, like, that doesn't always win. Like, you got to play defense. Like, there's other aspects of it. But more importantly, holy cow, I'm glad he won. But Pete Alonso's got to have a conversation with his cousin that was throwing in BP. Because let me tell you what, Gary, that guy had tremendous arm side movement with that two-seam fastball. And that slider he was throwing was just nasty.
No, like I don't think I tweeted this last night, but I certainly thought it. I don't like any, and I love my cousins, most of them, I guess. But I don't like any of them as much as Pete Alonso must like his cousin.
Yeah.
Because there's no scenario under which I put that guy on the mound against me. Like, he really was at a disadvantage based on the pitcher that he had throwing to him. Like, if you go back and watch it, and really, if you're going back and watching home run derbies, you're probably too bored, so I don't actually recommend it. But if you were to go back and watch it, if you look at where the guy throwing to Vlad was placing the ball, and then contrast it with where Pete's cousin was placing the ball, it's amazing that Pete was actually able to advance first out of the first round, because he almost had nothing to hit, and then win the whole thing, because he was at a pitcher disadvantage. If he tries to repeat at this, I would suggest getting Jerry's Familia or Edwin Diaz or basically anybody out of the Mets bullpen. They're all way more hittable than Pete's cousin was last night.
No, you're 100% right. Vlad's pitcher was throwing that really tasty meatball, and like it was just in the same spot every time. For God's sakes, Pete Alonso nearly got hit in the final round with one. Like, it was unbelievable to watch. But I will say this. While I agree with you, there's no cousin that I like as much as Pete must like his, I think the worst move of the night was Matt Chapman bringing his dad, because I can tell you this, in the history of my life, I've still never beaten my dad in one-on-one. Like, my dad, I think Kofi Kingston, a WWE superstar, tweeted out last night that, you know, there's a lot of kids on this planet that need to have their shot blocked by their dad. And I can safely say that my dad was just trying to reject me as much as possible. What his dad did last night to him in the first round, setting up pitch sequences and whatnot, that's just the stuff that legends are made of. Listen, parenting is a full-time job with no vacation, and you don't get retirement. And just putting his son in his place on that stage, I thought was breathtaking.
The other thing about the pitcher selecting, I've clearly put too much thought into this, is that whether it's your cousin or your dad, you know, like some of those guys, they have actual like batting practice pitchers throwing to them, like people who are members of their organization.
Right.
And what that means is they're used to throwing off of a mound every day. They're used to being in big stadiums every day. when you are Pete Alonso's cousin or Chapman's dad, like that is all, like it can be an intimidating thing just to walk out onto that field. You're not used to walking out on a field. You're not used to looking in the stands. You're not used to what people watching you do, what it is you're about to do. And then you multiply that by national television where there's no other sport on. I mean, that's the other thing about last night is that I watch baseball every night. Most people don't. But last night there's nothing else to watch. You know, it's NBA Summer League and Major League Baseball Home Run Derby. And so there's a lot of eyeballs on this. And I think nerves can play a role as well. Like you and you know, like every, I don't want to say every pitch counts, but you need good pitches to hit. Speaking as somebody who has won, I don't know if you know this, multiple home run derbies, I can tell you that a lot of it is you just have to get into a groove. And the way you get into a groove is to have your pitcher putting the ball right where you want it, throw after throw after throw after throw.
No, because I think that was another point about Pete Alonso's cousin. It was sometimes he could get into that groove where, you know, he would throw four or five. But then right after that, I mean, he would throw like he'd throw these things that were just like miss, like hitting in the dirt. They were bouncing in front of the plate. And it would you could tell it was clearly throwing off his rhythm. And yet he was still able to kind of settle down. Like it was almost like Pete Alonso wanted to give himself a handicap.
Well, I talked about this yesterday as we were getting out of the show, sort of, you know, what's on TV tonight, part of Dinner to Go. And I picked Pete Alonso to win the Home Run Derby, not simply because he's a New York Met, but because he reminds me a lot of Aaron Judge,
yeah,
who won it 2 years ago in this way. He can miss balls and still get them out of the park. Like a lot of those guys last night, like Cody, I guess it was Alex Bregman, right? Afterwards, when he got eliminated,
yeah,
he said he's probably going to retire from the Home Run Derby. And he was like, I'm not 6'4". And what he meant by that is that as a smaller man, you have to hit the ball. I mean, you can't miss a pitch and get it out of the park. But when you are big and strong like Aaron Judge and big and strong like Pete Alonso, going back to a different generation, big and strong like Mark McGwire, you can miss pitches and get them out. You can take a ball that's on the outside of the plate and just send it over the right field fence. There was a moment in an actual game this year where Alonso was like in a 2-2 count, and he got a ball that was borderline strike up, and he hit it out of the park. And afterward, he was asked about it, and he says, I wasn't really trying to hit that out of the park. I really just wanted to get a bat on it, foul it off to get me another pitch. Point being, he wasn't even trying to hit the ball out of a park, and it went out of a park in an actual Major League Baseball game. The ball jumps off his bat in a not normal way. And those are the guys that tend to be at an advantage in a home run derby. Like, can you get balls out of the park when you miss them? And Alonso can do that. He does it in actual major league games, and he did it a lot last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously something that is you and I as undersized baseball players, we can totally relate to. You know, just the idea of just, you know, oh, I'm just going to fight this one off. I'm just going to fight this one off. Oops, it went out of the park. That was maybe the least relatable moment that I've ever seen.
Like, yeah, like I was a small baseball player. Like I was 5'7", 145, 50 pounds back when I was playing baseball in high school and or even, you know, at 14, 15, 16. Like I don't think I hit a home run over the fence till I was like, I don't know, 10 or 11, and I was never a home run hitter. But every home run I hit growing up, whether it was in summer stuff, high school stuff, you know, 14-year-old state tournament, whenever it was, I crushed it. Like, I hit it as well as I could hit it because that's the only way I was ever getting a ball over the fence, whereas I played with people who could, you know, off balance, on the front foot, still get a ball out. And those are the guys that are at an advantage in a home run derby. You don't have to barrel up every ball. Alonso doesn't have to barrel up every ball. And, like, you know, I know last night was his introduction to casual sports fans. Like, this time yesterday, the percentage of people who are now aware of Pete Alonso, who were aware of him this time yesterday, is like, it's a big, big difference. But I mean, you can ask some of my friends. I've been sending them minor league clips of Alonso hitting for 2 years now because he always, like, he would just hit monster shots because, again, he's big and strong. And then you hear it sometimes, you know, on a local level. You hear it about this kid, Blaze Jordan, who won the high school home run derby last night. It just sounds different coming off of his bat. It looks different coming off his bat. I can remember being real young when McGuire was in his roid stuff. And
allegedly.
It just got to St. Louis, and I went and watched him. You know, I went to St. Louis to see the Mets play, but we got there early to watch batting practice. And with McGuire, they looked like golf balls coming off of his bat. With everybody else, they looked like baseballs coming off of the bat. But with McGuire, it looked like he was just hitting golf balls into the upper deck. It sounded different. It looked different. Alonso's the latest version of it. It looks different and sounds different coming off of his bat.
Now, when you were pointing out that example, my brain went right back to Austin Riley played on my dad's summer teams growing up, you know, or I guess from 14 on. And I remember that exact same situation. He got so fooled by, I mean, this is elite-level travel ball, and he's getting fooled by, you know, kids that are also going to play D1 by big-time breaking ball. He was so far out on his front foot, but he kept his hands back, and he still hit it off the wall. Like, it's
right.
There's just a difference between those guys.
Well, that's why he's, like, 22
yes.
years old and, you know, 14, 15, 16 homers already and, you know, going to make $100 million playing the sport. You know, he's uniquely gifted. And it is remarkable, not to take us too far down a baseball thing, but, you know, you got Austin Riley, who went to DeSoto Central High just a few years ago, and now, you know, Blaze Jordan's coming out of DeSoto Central High. He's got a chance to be, you know, a top 10 pick in next year's draft after reclassifying, so he's going to be eligible a year early. I mean, the idea that, I mean, we talk so much because people care more about basketball here than baseball, about us being a basketball city. But, man, we produce baseball players. I maybe need to do the research on it, but a comparable, if not better, rate than we produce basketball players. You know, you look at the guys who have come out of here who have gone on to not just be professional players, but, you know, guys who make tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars playing baseball. The list is pretty notable, and Austin Riley is now undeniably a part of it, and Blaze Jordan, by all accounts, is going to be a part of it real soon too.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to ask you this. I mean, I grew up with Drew Pomerantz, so Drew's still pitching. Not having his best year, but Drew's still pitching. I mean, Matt Cain made, I think, $130-something million. I mean, you got Austin up there. I mean, those are just the guys that I can think of right now.
You know, from guys I covered back when I, you know, was covering preps, Paul Mahalom coming out of Germantown, like went and pitched for, I think the Pirates and Braves, maybe other teams, but like he was in, you know, he was a big league starter.
Zach Cozart.
I mean, there's a whole bunch that you don't really hear about them the way you hear about Thaddeus Young or, you know, any other, you know, NBA player that comes out of this city, but we put players in the major leagues just as often, if not more often. I think it probably is more often than we put players in the NBA.
What do you make of Verlander's comments that he thinks the baseballs are juiced?
I think he's probably right. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not in the ballparks every day, but the numbers are the numbers. And if people in baseball think that there's something different with the ball, then I'm going to assume there's something different with the ball. And I think the larger point that Verlander made is just sort of rooted in common sense. Like, Major League Baseball is in charge, like, owns the company that makes the balls. So, like, if we all know the balls are different, you know, they didn't just start making them differently without Major League Baseball's consultation or perhaps, you know, at without their instruction. So I don't think it's a thing where the pitchers are getting hit in a different way, so they're trying to look at anything to point to other than themselves. You talk to most people or just read what most people think, and there's something different with the baseball. And, you know, Verlander, again, his points seem to make sense to me. They know how to juice the ball. They know what to do to create this thing. And there's just no way they created it accidentally. I think, you know, I can't prove it. I don't guess he can either, but that his explanation seems to make more sense than a shoulder shrug of, well, we don't know. Yeah. That I don't think any of this stuff is an accident at this level. I'm here.
Okay. Sorry. You cut out. No, I mean, to me, I would think of it like, it's like, take for instance that you and I play golf. So we know that even now in our advanced age, we hit the ball farther than we did 10 years ago. The ball spins less, and yes, the equipment's better, and yes, we now know if you swing up on it like baseball players are doing, like, yes, you can take launch angles into effect. Yes, I do think that that's having a slightly different effect, but at the end of the day, the reason why we're hitting golf ball farther is because the ball doesn't spin, and to me, it stands to reason. I'm not saying it's the only cause, but it stands to reason that the baseball is different than it was 10 years ago.
Most people who play baseball at the professional level, who, like, you know, throw these things and hit these things every day, seem to think that the balls are different. And so if you accept that as the truth, then the only conversation we're having is whether they're different intentionally for a specific reason. And Verlander's point, again, it makes sense to me, and that's that the balls just wouldn't change for no reason. They're like, somebody has to sign off on that. You're not just going to every year, you know, show up with, hey, okay, so these are what the balls are like now. We'll see how it goes. Like, if we can acknowledge something different with the ball, then you're really only debating whether it's done intentionally or not. And I just don't think things done at that level are done unintentionally. It seems that it was done with a purpose. You know, the old cliche was chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's exactly true, but people do seem to enjoy.
We like offense.
People like 7-5 baseball games as opposed to 2-1 baseball games. And if Major League Baseball recognized that and did something to try to make that a more likely scenario than not, you know, again, that all makes sense to me.
Last question. I'll wrap up here with Gary Parrish on the show. Jeff was asking this question, so I wanted to get your opinion on it because you're well more versed in the subject than I am. Does it strike you as odd that while the Memphis women's basketball program is, I guess, currently under investigation, there's an outside review, if you will, does it strike you as odd that Melissa McFerrin is not suspended?
Yes, because it is the way most universities operate right now. Like, Will Wade might never be, you know, for lack of a better phrase, found guilty of level one violation. But when there was video or audio, or at least a report of audio of him suggesting he was, he had either committed or was trying to commit level one violations, LSU suspended him until they could straighten that out. You know, we live in a world now, right or wrong, you know, where if you are accused of serious things, your employer, particularly if you are a public figure, your employer will not fire you immediately, but will certainly remove you from your position, at least temporarily, until they can sort through things.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.